Good evening, warriors. So good to see you here. We've had a beautiful day lifting up the name of our Lord Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. See on the sign. We began this morning talking about how the Lord revealed himself as Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, without giving his name. And that was when Joshua was about to enter the promised land and fight that great battle of Jericho, and he was met by the commander of the angel armies. But before he could confront these looming walls of Jericho, there was a greater battle that he had to fight before he could take possession of that. And we talked about how Israel, prior to coming into the promised land, had pitched their tents, and that they had neglected the ordinances of the Lord. And at noon, we talked about one of those ordinances was circumcision. And the other, which we're going to talk about tonight, is the Passover. So there were two things they were neglecting in their service to the Lord. And as a result, they were heading into battle to receive the promise of the Lord already defeated before they began. And the Lord knows exactly what we need in this season in order to make us victorious like he did his children Israel. And it's important that we understand that we are without power if we're not spending time in the presence of God, if we're not spending time feeding on his word, if we're not coming together and praying. And that's why this season is a gift from the hand of the Lord. He knows exactly what we need. And that's why he's called us to this season to come together and gather, not just in one church, but all across this nation, from East Coast to West Coast. It's really powerful what the Lord is doing, and he's showing himself mighty and powerful on our behalf. Now, Israel, they couldn't enter the promised land until they fulfilled these commands of the Lord to, one, observe the circumcision, which we talked about how it made all of this, their entire troops very weak prior to going to battle, which really shows us that God's ways of fighting are not our ways. They're much higher than ours. It's in our weakness that his power is made strong. And so this other ordinance is feeding on the paschal lamb, which is Christ. They were not doing that. They were not feeding on him. And in that observance of Passover, we can see our own weakness as the body of Christ, the church, that we don't spend the time communing with him and feeding on him. If we don't partake of the living bread which came down from heaven, which is Christ, right? If we don't do that, if we don't spend time feeding on his word, being nourished in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, then we don't have the strength that we need to do the work that he's calling us to do. We know from the scriptures, it says, man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. We live on the word of God. As Christians who have the Spirit of God living in us, we have to feed that spiritual life within with the food that he created us to eat, which is the word of God. The Holy Spirit has given us the Holy Bible, and we need to feed on it. And so when we pray and petition the Lord, we can do so from a place of power, a place of strength, if we're feeding on the Lord, if we spent time with Jesus, if we fed on him, we've eaten his word. The thing is, we can't petition the Lord for the life of someone else if there's no life in us. If we haven't fed on Jesus, we're not going to be able to petition with power nor with wisdom. Romans 8:34 says, it is Jesus who died and was raised to life and is at the right hand of God interceding for us. He's our intercessor. He's the one who's been raised to life. He's the one who's calling us to join him in his intercession. So we need to stoke these fires of first love. We've been talking about that. And in order to do that, we feed on the Lord Jesus Christ. We feed on his word. We come to his table daily, morning, noon, and night, and we gather strength from his word. There's a saying that says the power, prayer and the word of God, they're not mutually exclusive. The power of one is dependent on the presence of the other. And we know the disciples in Acts, there was so much service to do in the early church that they had to find others to help with that. But they gave their attention to the most important matters of the ministry, which is spending time in the Word and prayer. So prayer and the Word of God, they're very important to our life in Christ, in our ability to pray with power and to intercede for others. John 15:9 tells us, John 57, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So we need to have his words in us and pray those words back to him, claiming his promises, and then we'll receive what we have asked for him. So this season, what we're doing each day, we're going morning, noon, and night. In the morning, we start with worship, adoration, praise, adoring our King. And then when we come into the presence of the Lord, we recognize our frailty, our sin. And so in the afternoons, we're repenting. We're standing in the gap on behalf of the church, repenting, emptying ourselves, clearing the channel so that God can pray through us and send down his blessings. And then the evening hour is just for that. We're here to offer our gratitude and thanksgiving to the Lord and then to petition on behalf of all the many needs of the body of Christ, the church, of our nation, this world, our families, our government, the election, all of these things. We're here to do that, to pray. The greatest need of the church in the world today is a praying church. It's the greatest need. It's the root of our spiritual life and power. And it was by prayer that the early church flourished. It's how the early church triumphed. They came together. They broke bread together. They prayed together. And we find in prayer that intercession, standing in the gap for others, is the most perfect form of prayer. And that's what we're here to do. It is what our Lord Jesus, our great high priest, does. He's our mediator of the covenant. He's before the throne interceding for us. It's by prayer that we're going to conquer the world. But as we talked about in the noon hour, God wants to conquer our hearts first. He needs to clear the channel. Romans 8:37 says that it is by prayer, or in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And how do we become conquerors? We pray. Prayer defies the power of this world, and it fits men to conquer the world for Christ. So we need to become people of prayer. And we can't become people of prayer unless we're people of the Word, because they work together. I remember once a pastor had asked me a question. This was many years ago. He said, when did your prayer life change? And I can actually pinpoint the exact moment that things changed for me in my prayer life. And that was in 2006 when the Lord called me to my first 40 days of prayer and fasting. It was an invitation from the Lord just to me personally. He called me to himself. He invited me to his table. He has set this wonderful, lavish table for me. I didn't know anything about fasting. I'd never really done it before. And all I knew is I heard God say, daughter, come away with me. I want to show you something wonderful about myself. And I noticed as I began to meet with him every day, just feeding, opening the Word of God, that there was this process, this divine process that began to show me morning, noon, and night. As I spent time with him, I was breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I couldn't get enough of him. And over the 40-day period, I didn't even realize that I hadn't eaten. I wasn't even thinking about food. It was all about this wonderful meals that I was getting, something I'd never tasted before, an intimacy with God I had never experienced before. And it was out of that 40 days that the Lord birthed our first 40-day fast together as a body, as a church at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. It was in 2008. The journey was called Eat at the Table of the King because the Lord was inviting us to his table. In 2008, he set before us a table and he invited us to intimacy with him. And that was where our journey began as a church. And that's what's key to what we're doing here today. The verse that there's a scripture that God gave me at the very beginning when I shared with Pastor Jack and Lisa at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, what the Lord had planted on my heart regarding this call back to intimacy with the Lord, this call back to prayer and spending time in the Word. This is a prophecy that was actually given to Hezekiah. We find it in Isaiah. It's shown in two places in 1 Kings, but it's also here in Isaiah chapter 37. This is verse 30. It says, "This shall be a sign to you. You shall eat this year such as grows by itself. The second year, what springs from the same. And then also in the third year, sow and reap. Plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them." So that sign that the Lord had given me that first year that we came together as a body of Christ across the nation, 40 days of prayer and fasting, 2008, we did eat at the table of the King. And I thought this prophecy was just, oh, the next year, we're going to do another fast. And the next year, we're going to do the fast. And then it's fulfilled. And we did that. We did eat. We did wellspring. We did harvest. And I thought it was done. But then it was 2011, 2012, 2013, 2014. Journey after journey after journey. Because the Lord wanted to feed his people. But the promise that the Lord gave me in 2008, when we did that first 40-day fast, he said, when you return to this place, it was a promise he gave to Moses. He said, when you come back to this mountain, you'll know that I have sent you. And in 2016, which was 8 years later, the Lord invited me back to Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, and this time in person. And we did 40 days on the altar like this in a journey called Crowned, the Majesty of God. And during that 40-day season in 2016, every day of that journey, we lifted up the names of the Lord. Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Shema, Jehovah Tetzikneo, the consuming fire, the living bread. All of these names we did for 40 days. But there was one day in the midst of that 40 days that because of a scheduled event, there was a name that never got up on the screen. And it was this name. And I walked away from that 40 days feeling crushed because I felt like, God, we didn't do what you called us to do. We didn't finish the task. And it disturbed me greatly, but the Lord spoke to my heart at that moment. He said, daughter, I have reserved that name. I was like, when, Lord? And I thought 4 years ago, oh, surely we're going to do it there. And was, no. And then it was in January of this year when the Lord had me begin preparing a journey called the King of Glory. And it was based on Psalm 24. And when I was laying out the schedule of the calendar for the year and I saw in October we would be doing verse 10, who is this King of Glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of Glory. It just hit me like a wave. Lord's like, this is the year and this is the time. And I'll be honest, I thought he was going to call me back to Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. But when I came here in April, Courtney invited me to come for the women's conference. And I sat here and I listened. And it was at the very end, I was sitting right over there. And the Lord said, this is where you're going to be. This is where you're going to be. I said, I thought I heard you, Lord, that it was going to be in Chino Hills. I didn't understand it, but this is where it was going to be. And so I didn't tell anybody. I just started preparing and waiting. And as we got closer and closer, August, September, no invitation. And I'm like, I heard you, Lord. I know I heard you. But when we're given a promise from God, our job isn't just to sit on the promise. We're supposed to be diligent. We're supposed to go about our Father's business. And that's what I did, just preparing and praying and waiting. And in the midst of, right when we got close to the time for us to come together, I received an invitation to speak at a women's conference. I thought, I don't think that's it, Lord. But I agreed, and I said, I know you're telling me to do that. I did that. And it was the day that I accepted that invitation. that I got the message from Courtney that the church was wanting to do it. So all that to say is the Lord, when he gives you a promise, you have to go out by faith and lay hold of it. And he's not going to give you what he wants for you unless we step out in obedience, right? That was what we talked about at the noon hour, how important it is to obey the Lord. You have to put your feet in the water, the Red Sea, before it's going to part. And then the very next week after I found out that, yes, we're going to do this here, which I was so excited about. Because one, it's a confirmation. You know, when you hear from God and you're like, this is where he said to be, this is what we're going to do, and then he confirms it. But still in the back of my mind, it was like, but what about Chino Hills? My heart is so knitted to the family there. And I know a lot of you here are from Chino Hills, which is really powerful. I'm going to speak about that here because there's something that the Lord showed in all of these journeys. But it was a week later that Pastor Jack and Lisa met with us to discuss uniting the churches together. And so here we are. And I'm so excited about what the Lord is doing in this season. But I want to share with you, because there's something the Lord has said about each of these journeys that we've done before we get into intercession, because I want you to understand what it is he's calling us to do in this season and what he's revealing to us. So in 2008, the Lord set before us a table. Eat at the table of the King, right? He invited us to come in and experience intimacy with him. And the word that he had given that season was it was in 2016. In 2016, he set before us an open door. And it was from this chapter in Revelation. I just want to read these scriptures because I think they're so important to compare the two and see where he's bringing us even now. So 2008, he set before us a table, and this was his word because he was calling us to intimacy. It's from Revelation chapter 2, right? And it's all about the church at Ephesus. He says to this church, this is Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do your first works. So that was 2008. Repent and do your first works. Come back to first love. And then in 2016, when he called us for the second 40-day fast, he gave this is the scripture for that time. This is from Revelation 3:7. This is the faithful church, Philadelphia. He says, to the church in Philadelphia, he who is holy and he who is true, who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens, I know your works and I have set before you an open door. In 2016, he set before an open door and he promised, he said, I will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world. And we know what has transpired since 2016. He left an open door specifically for that church, that faithful church, and God protected them. And then we see in that time frame all the people who've been sent out across the country to start these little fires. And now we hear 8 years later, 2024, and this is the verse that the Lord had given. When I was on the altar in 2016, this verse was revealed. It's in Isaiah 59. It says, justice is turned back, and righteousness stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. Then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man and wondered what there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with the zeal of a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversary, recompense to his enemies. The coastlands he will fully repay. And so they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. And this is the verse at the end of verse 19. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. That's what he's doing in this season. When the enemy comes in with like a flood, he's going to raise up a standard against him. And that was in 2016 on the altar. He was preparing us for this time. And so as I began to pray for this church, what does God have in this hour? What is he doing for us? This is what he gave. This is from 2 Samuel. I'm going to read it out of 1 Chronicles. It's the same thing. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 23, and then 1 Chronicles 14. This is the verse for this area that we're living in, but there's something right before it. He says, this is when David was going up against the Philistines, and David inquired of the Lord. He prayed and he asked him, what are we to do, Lord? And the Lord said to him, you shall not go up after them, but circle around them and come upon them in front of the mulberry trees. And it shall be that when you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees, then you shall go out to battle, for God has gone out before you to strike the camp of the Philistines. But here's what he said that's prior to that, which I thought was really interesting. This is verse 11. Then David said, God has broken through my enemies by my hand like a breakthrough of water. And he named the place Baal Perazim, master of breakthroughs. That's the word that he's given for the season. And he said that in 2016 with Isaiah 59, that when the enemy rises up like a flood, I'm raising up a standard against him. And who's he given that standard to? His church here, because he's going to break through like water. This is the word for the hour that we're living in. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, is a militant God. He's our warrior, and he's coming through as a master of breakthroughs. This season is all about breakthrough for us. He wants to break through our enemies. He wants to break through whatever is holding us back from intimacy with him. He wants to break through whatever is holding us back from power. In Isaiah 28, 21, there's this prophecy. It says that he may do his work, his awesome work, and bring it to pass, his act, his unusual act. You know, God doesn't like to discipline his people. That's actually an unusual act. Our God is a good God, right? He's a faithful God, a loving Father, and he wants to do good for us. But sometimes he has to discipline us. And so the Lord of hosts is doing a mighty work in our midst. And I just want to encourage you, as we're taking this hour each day to intercede with that mindset, that the Lord of hosts has raised up a standard. He's raised up his people who will be volunteers on the day of his power, arrayed in holy majesty. And he's called us to join him in intercession because he is the master of breakthroughs. And he's going to break through like the waters. That is what he's doing in this season. So we know that Jesus is our intercessor. We read that in Isaiah 59. He was appalled that there was no one to intercede. He's our great high priest. He lives to intercede for us. And so when we come into this time to pray, we're joining our hearts with our Lord. We're bowing before him and sitting at his feet and hearing his heart and interceding with him so that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So I want to invite you to intercede with me this last half hour that we have together, and where you are, whoever's watching online, that you just get down before the Lord. And this season has been 16 years in the making, 8 years. God wants to do something extraordinary, and he's been preparing us from sitting at his table and experiencing intimacy with him right? To coming before him and having this open door to walk through where we can look upon his majesty. And now, this rush of flooding waters that he's going to pour through us across the land, he says that it is the knowledge of the glory of the Lord that will flood this earth like the waters cover the sea. That is what we want to see in this hour, the glory of God to flood this earth. But we first need to have our perspective changed as the body of Christ. We need to raise our thoughts higher. We need a fresh glimpse of the glory of God. We need our hearts ministered to. And we need to be emptied so we can be full and pour out that flood upon the earth. So let's go before the Lord. I want to encourage you. We have people listening online and watching us live stream across the country and at Calvary Chapel Chino Hills. And we're hearing they can't hear us and they want to hear our prayers. So we've set up a microphone in the center here. And I know it can be, you know, sometimes you don't want to stand up and do it. But I want to encourage you, be bold. The Lord is praying through you. If you're hearing a prayer that's coming from the Lord, that's his heart. And I know this is a praying people. So God's praying through you. So stand up and pray in the microphone so everyone can hear. We can join our prayers together and fill the atmosphere with the word of God, with the heart of God, with the cries and prayers of God, and for the hope of the people. And let's just pray together and take this time that we have to just intercede for our land. This is your time to intercede. So we, in the morning, we just praised. It was all adoration. In the afternoon, we spent our time in repentance. And now is the time to petition the Lord. Bring a spirit of thanksgiving, rejoicing, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we are before you. Our hearts are filled with gratitude and praise as we look over the history of your faithfulness and to see your hand all these years, knitting our hearts together as a church and spreading that love from coast to coast, how you've sent your people out, how you've set up little campfires all across this nation of hearts that are so in tune with love to you, God. And now you're uniting our hearts this way, in this season, under the banner of your great, militant, and mighty name, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, our mighty warrior, the commander of the armies of heaven. Lord, we exalt your great name. We ask this evening, this time that we have together, Lord, that our words would be heavenly and our hearts would be holy and that this time spent together would be honorable in your sight as we build an impenetrable wall of prayer around our cities, our states, and our nation. We will praise you, Lord, with all our hearts. We will bow down toward your holy temple and praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you are exalted above all things, your name and your word. Lord, you are the glorious crown on the head of your church, Lord. You have called us your chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to their God, that we may declare the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Lord, we ask in this season that you would give us eyes to see you as you are, so that we can adore you as you deserve. We want the whole world to know you and your infinite perfections, how beautiful and glorious you are, how loving and how faithful, and what a magnificent Savior you are, Lord Jesus. So, Lord, we just ask right now, would you unite your church in a concert of prayer and permeate our lives with a spirit of worship? give us singleness of heart and action so that with one heart and one mouth we may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so pray according to your heart. Lord, we just lift up, God, this church and this hour. Lord, you say wherever you have your name to be placed is where you will glorify yourself. And Lord, I just ask right now for this church. Lord, that you would move mightily upon it, Lord, to see the hour of their visitation, that you are moving in their midst for the season that is ahead of them. You know what's coming. We have no idea. But we know that you have sanctified the season in order that your people will be consecrated to you. And so, Lord, I pray for open hearts to receive the blessing, Lord, that you want to bestow upon this place. God, you have seen, Lord, those precious workers in this church, the faithful ones who love you with an undying love. You've seen the servants here. You've come in to refresh them, to encourage them with your love. So, Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in your church. Lord, it was by prayer that your first disciples, that they were brought into holy unity of purpose. And it's what made them that one body, prepared to receive your Holy Spirit. And so we're asking you, Lord, in this time, that you would move upon the hearts of your people again, so that we would come together in love and yield ourselves completely to you, so that we would experience the power of your Spirit in the church today. God, all across this land, Calvary Chapel Chino Hills, here at Calvary Chapel Knoxville, and other churches and other home groups and other homes in every prayer closet, Lord, I pray that hearts would be humbled to receive the refreshment that you are pouring out upon your people in these 21 days. Show us your heart, Lord. There are so many needs, Lord, in this nation right now that we need to be praying for. So, Lord, show us what you would have us to pray and how you would have us to pray. Speak to us through your word in your mighty name, Lord Jesus.
Dear Father, I come before you on behalf of every parent that is praying for a wayward child. God, I pray that in this very hour, your Holy Spirit will draw them to yourself. Lord, you are so good. You comfort us. You encourage us. And you teach us through this longing to see our children know you. And Lord, we know your word teaches that you will leave the 99 in order to go find that one lost sheep. And so, Lord, You see every heart that's represented here that is longing for a child to come home. And I pray for comfort. And I pray for restoration in relationships. I pray for healing, Lord, in the homes. I pray for the mothers and the fathers to be on their knees on behalf of their children, on behalf of their own hearts, Lord, that we would lay our hearts before you and be humbled, God, that we would seek you with all of our heart, Lord. We love you and we trust our children into your hands. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray.
Arise, cry out in the night at the beginning of the watches. Pour out your heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift your hands toward him for the life of your young children who faint from hunger at the head of every street. God, this generation, God, is being robbed of their lives. And we hold the key to save them, God. We can rescue them in your love. They've lost their identity, and their identity is in you, Lord Jesus. God, let a spirit of weeping and mourning and fasting and praying come upon your church, your bride. We ask you, Lord, to come with power and rescue our children who are fainting from hunger at the head of every street. Come, Lord Jesus.
Father, I thank you that today, or that we're just reminded that you are a good father, or one who is exalted above all things, Lord, that you put the cosmos, the planets, everything into motion. Lord, you hold it in the palm of your hand, and yet you choose to have a relationship with us. Lord, you have torn that veil where we can come boldly before your throne, Father, with confidence. Father, I thank you that, Lord, that you're just, your word shows us your character. Father, we see in Hebrews that you say that for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is the discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. There is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. So, Father, seeing this then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast, God, to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. So, Father, I pray, Lord, just let us now, therefore, come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Father, I thank you that your hope is the anchor of our soul. Lord, that it is sure and steadfast. And Lord, that we can enter into your presence. So Lord, I just want to lay down our church, Lord, the church nationwide, Father, to you, that we would stand on the promise of your truth. Father, I want to lift up the leadership of the church. Lord, I pray that there would be just a bold stance and confession of your truth. Father, I want to pray for the leaders of our nation, of this world. God, we know that Paul, in his writing through your Holy Spirit, Lord, called us to pray for our leaders. So, Father, we just want to lift up the leadership, knowing that when Paul wrote this, Lord, that he was praying for persecutors of Christians. Father, people who detested the church. So, Lord, we just lay the decisions over the next month before your throne. Father, knowing that you are appointing those in authority to do your will. So, Father, no matter which side we stand on, I pray that we stand with you and you alone. Father, we surrender our church, we surrender our states, we surrender, again, our nation, our world to you, and just ask that you would do a move of your spirit that only you can do, because you can do incredibly more than we could ever ask and imagine. It's in Jesus' name I pray.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, Lord Jesus, I come before you, God, asking for renewed strength in the body of Christ, Lord Jesus, that you will pour your spirit out, God, in a greater measure, God. That the body of Christ, God, will take a new grip, God, with their tired hands. God, that you will strengthen the weak knees, Lord Jesus. Mark out a straight path for our feet, God, so that those who are weak and those that are lame, Lord Jesus, will not fall but become strong. Lord Jesus, help us to lay hold of every spiritual blessing that you have for us in Christ Jesus. We have no excuse, God, as a body of Christ, to not be walking in victory. Lord Jesus, we have the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling in us. Lord, may we fall at our feet before you. God, as a body of Christ, God, may we lay down in humble adoration, God, asking for a filling of your Spirit, God. Help us as a body to be united and come alongside the weak, Lord Jesus, to comfort one another, to do all that we can to live at peace with one another, Lord Jesus, because that is where your Spirit is poured out. It is poured out when the brother dwell together in unity. So unite your body, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this privilege that we have to bow at your throne this evening. Lord, we thank you for salvation. We thank you for this church, Lord. We thank you for the leadership that you've raised up here, Lord. And Father, I'd like to ask that you would raise up a remnant, Lord, to stand in the gap against child sex trafficking, Lord. This evil atrocity, Lord, that's happening on our watch, Lord. It's happening right here in our neighborhood and across this country. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you would shine your good light, Lord, in these dark corners. I pray that you'd help these children, Lord, who are trapped in this evil. And I pray you would raise up, Lord, men and women, Lord, to stand in the gap and to be a salt, Lord, to stop this rotten meat that's happening. Please, Lord, use us, Lord. We come to your throne and we ask you, God, please, move in a powerful way to save these innocent little children, Lord. Bring together, Lord, law enforcement. Bring together special forces. Bring together your mighty warrior angels, Lord. And use us, Lord. We're asking tonight through prayer, God, that you'd intercede in a powerful way and that you'd use your body to stand in the gap to help these little innocent children, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We're praying in faith, knowing that you hear this prayer, Lord, knowing that you care deeply for these little children, Lord. So thank you, God, for moving your mighty hand, Lord, and helping in this dark, evil area, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Father God, I come before you and thank you. Thank you for offering us something we could never do on our own, Lord. Salvation. Father, I lift up the families, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask, Lord, that you would bring marriages into a right standing the way that you have called us to be, Lord, that you would lift up these men, Lord. Father, raise them up to be the godly priests of their households, Lord. Father, I lift up the women and the wives, Father, I ask that you would show us, Lord, how you want us to be, Father. Help us to put our own control down, Father. Turn our hearts towards you, that we would stand with our husbands instead of against them, Lord. Father, I lift up the children, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would do a new thing, Lord, in these families. Knit their hearts together. Show us, Lord, how to raise them the way that you've called us to raise them, Lord. Turn our hearts towards you, Lord God. Be a shield about us, Lord God. I thank you that you come first, that we would love you first. And then our spouses, and then our children, Lord God. Do a new thing in our families, Lord. Protect them, Lord, from the hand of the enemy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father, first of all, I just want to say thank you, Lord, that we've all been grafted in so that we are salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. But Lord, I want us all to remember why we were grafted in, Lord. I want to lift up the nation of Israel, Lord, and I want to lift up all our Jewish brethren that are around, because, Lord, as it was said, I say then, have they stumbled, but they should fall? Certainly not. But through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. Lord, we all need to reach out to our Jewish brethren, Lord, because if they don't see what Jesus has done for us, Lord, and see Jesus in our lives, how can they be provoked? They need to see what they don't have, Lord, to want what they need. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, Lord of hosts, as darkness falls upon the land, God, we know the enemy is out, prowling like a roaring lion, seeking whom he can devour. We ask you, Lord, to confuse his every step, to render his works useless, to rescue anyone who would be caught in his grip. Lord, do a mighty work this evening, we pray. Lord, we pray for our pastors, Lord, all across this land, that you would give us shepherds after your own heart, who will lead us with knowledge and understanding. Those who know you at the deepest level of abiding intimacy. Lord, we ask for them that you would bathe them in the love of God. Keep their hearts tender before you, that they remain sensitive to the Spirit and able to minister from a place of strength. Lord, we ask that you would multiply the faithful in the land, that you would restore that to your church, a spirit of prayer. Cultivate that life of deep abiding intimacy within the hearts of your people, so that every area of our life is given over to you, Lord. God, shake your people out of spiritual complacency and give us a longing after you. We pray for the warriors in the field and the persecuted church around the world. Be their mighty shield, O Lord of hosts. Above all, Lord, faithful mediator, would you set our hearts aflame with love, with a deeper love for you and for the souls of men. All around us are men and women who are perishing. God, we pray that you would flood this earth with the knowledge of you, Lord, that salvation would come to this land, that the hearts of your people would be turned back to you, Lord, and that you would return to us. We want to see your name glorified, Lord. And so we extol and exalt your name, Lord Jesus. We praise you for the gift of this season, to draw near to you, Lord. And now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. For it's in your mighty name, Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, our mighty warrior king. We give you all the praise and glory, Jesus. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You have a blessed evening. I look forward to seeing you again in the morning. Again, on the East Coast here at Calvary Chapel Knoxville, we're meeting at 9, at noon, and at 6. And it's 3 hours difference on the West Coast. I just thank you all for being a part of this and just keeping our prayers unified before the throne. I just pray the Lord just sends out a blessing upon each of you as you go forth tonight. Blessings. Good evening.